D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan here with you at Bridgestone Arena. Joining us, Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. And Hutton, I was just reading this story on Sportico about the Super Bowl and ratings and things of that nature. According to Sportico, 115.1 million people tuned in to the previous Kansas City versus Philadelphia Super Bowl in 2023. 115.1 tuned into that game. Does this game outdo that game in terms of viewership?
Yes, I think it does. I think there's Kansas City fatigue, but there's the Super Bowl. you have the three-peat versus, and we can get into a long discussion about this. Have the Commanders won this game, had the Lions won, I'd be all about this dynasty ending, wrapping up, no three-peat. There's something very unlikable about the Philadelphia Eagles to me.
Interesting.
And it's a lot of little things. It's not like one big thing.
It's because they booed Santa. Is it because – is that
still
thing?
It's that they cussed me out, Willie, on the sideline.
They didn't treat you very nice in Philly.
Don't mistake Philly fans for being, you know, the nicest people in the world now. Come on now.
The Philly fans and Baltimore fans were the only two fan bases that knew my name when I came out of the tunnel.
You should wear that as a badge of honor.
Exactly.
Wear that as a badge of honor.
In fact, I think they asked Delaney my name in the tunnel, and then they got after me is what happened.
Do you remember something particularly mean that was said to you, Hutton, that still sticks with me to this day?
You know, it was more about what was thrown at me.
Batteries by chance?
No batteries.
Okay.
No batteries. And as the great Doug Matthews would wish upon Tennessee fans, he longs for the days when Willie will know this. He longs for the days whenever urine is thrown at him at Florida games.
Nice.
He has said that before, which is hilarious. Nothing terrible. More or less like, empty, Coke cans or whatever, beer cans. But it was a drunk fest in the pregame, and it was phenomenal. It's everything I wanted to be in Philadelphia, quite frankly. This is more about like Sirianni going after the fans earlier this season, or AJ like chirping back and forth with his good friend at quarterback. Like, it's just off. Barkley's very likable. I'm rooting for that storyline. If the season ended today, and it doesn't, would Barkley be the MVP? That's a great debate based on where he is now versus where he was at the end of the season, where he's not going to win. He's not even being like mentioned there, which is ludicrous. But Kansas City, they always finish. It's annoying, but it's respect. Like, I respect the hell out of it, and there's something about that dynamic I want to see one more time, and it has nothing to do with me like liking any individual on the Chiefs side of things. It's more or less like irritating factors for Philadelphia for me.
Well, who was it? It was Nate Burleson. We played the clip earlier this week. It was Nate Burleson after the game who said, "I understand if you all have Chiefs fatigue, but be grateful you're alive to witness history." I was like, all right, step down from that pulpit, my friend.
It's not that serious.
Let me mention the ratings real quick. Mm-hmm. 58 million watched Buffalo try to go and take down Kansas City. The Swifties play a factor in this. They do. That's one consistent. If I'm watching at a bar and the Kansas City's on, random women will walk by and ask random people, have they shown Taylor yet? Like, it's crazy that they're still like glued to it just to see a flash of her in the booth wearing gloves.
I will speak to this from firsthand experience. My wife, who is not a sports fan in the slightest, I had the AFC Championship game on the other day, and she was asking me, "Hey, has Taylor been shown in the suite yet? What's Taylor wearing tonight?" You know, like that sort of thing. So it does play a big role. That will factor into the number of people who view into the game in a couple of weeks.
And then, 44 million tuned in to watch Washington lose to Philadelphia, and that's a drop from where the AFC Championship was. But 44 million surpasses practically anything you can come up with that's a non-NFL event, period. So, I mean, it's the Super Bowl. People will tune in. I don't know how much the halftime show pulls in viewership this year compared to other ones with Kendrick Lamar. It'll pull. But, maybe the ratings are down, maybe they're up. But, I think more people will tune in this go-around to watch this rematch than they did 2 years ago. Maybe not as much as last year, though.
The one thing that's amazing to me about this, not just the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs are going for the three-peat, trying to become the first NFL team to win three consecutive Super Bowl championships. None of the previous repeat champions even made it to the Super Bowl. This is the first time a team that has a chance at the three-peat has actually made it to the Super Bowl, which adds a little bit more intrigue on my part. I know that a lot of airtime and a lot of pixels have been spilled about the Chiefs and the refs. Where do you stand on this national dilemma we seem to be having?
Well, I thought the calls that went against Houston were egregious, quite frankly. I don't know. It's not on the official. It's the setup. They are told if they are in doubt on roughing the passer, when in doubt, throw the flag. I don't know how you officiate a game like that. That's the only play in football where they are told if you are in doubt, throw it. So that's what they did. That's going back to the Texans game where Mahomes is a runner, and then all of a sudden, because he is attempting at the very beginning to slide, again, he's a protected quarterback at that point. Last week, I didn't have a problem with the spot. I know there's a lot of controversy with the spot itself. They still had the football again. If I will say, if you're going to change a rule and try to get a chip put in the football or whatever it might be, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes combined to change an overtime rule together. So maybe we could see something there that what they're trying in like the USFL with spotting the football. Look, the whole referee controversy is something that's never going to end. It's the fact that Kansas City seems to always have it go their way. 17-0 in one possession games is their record now. Their last 17 games, 17-0. It's remarkable. You mentioned the three-peat. I mean, in going back to some of the teams that had the opportunity to do it, you know, the Patriots didn't get back to the Super Bowl. And that's an era where you had Brady, but Brady had Manning. You know, like, there is no other true rival for Mahomes in the playoffs. I mean, it's Allen, but it's not really Allen. He's 0-4. They're 0-4 their last eight. Buffalo is on the road in the postseason. So while Manning had Brady and Brady had Manning, it's Mahomes, and then everyone else is kind of battling for that next spot. And it's intriguing because of the era we're in the passing era that's now more run than ever than we've seen the last, you know, several years. And it's still Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid lapping everyone. And if I may, something I'm going to mention later today on the show on Hot Mic, I think there were more than just Houston and Buffalo so far that could take down Kansas City this postseason. The teams that had an opportunity to hire a coach, I don't know why we didn't see more of Steve Spagnuolo mentioned for head coaching jobs. Because if you want to take out Kansas City and what they're doing, you take away Steve Spagnuolo from the last Super Bowl win last year and then what they've done this year defensively, that is a huge wound to what Kansas City accomplishes over the last year and a half.
And I think that brings up my question that I wanted to ask you, because, listen, we know how great Patrick Mahomes is, but you just talked about, okay, Spagnuolo being the top defensive coordinator in the NFL right now and what his defenses have been able to do, frankly, the last 2 years, because without that defense, Kansas City isn't making it to the Super Bowl last year. They're not winning it. Their defense stepped up big. And this year, because of the close games, a lot of it was because of what the defense did and or the special teams. Now, Pat made plays when he needed to, but the defense always gave them an opportunity to win a game or put them in a position to seal a game. So that brings me to my question about the Titans, because everybody can't have a Patrick Mahomes. And even when you do have a Patrick Mahomes, sometimes even Patrick Mahomes can't win the game for you alone. He needs a defense or other players. So in regards to the Titans, say if they don't get that quarterback in this year's draft, do you think this regime is good enough to amass a good enough talent to still win with the subpar quarterback?
Are they going to draft Abdul Carter?
maybe at number one, maybe. But it's like, okay, say if they draft a quarterback, it's not working out. But do you believe that this unit can then surround the quarterback with enough good players that even though we don't have that guy or he hasn't shown that he's going to be an elite quarterback, we can still win in the meantime?
Okay, that question comes down to who they already have, Mace. Mm-hmm. Is Jeffrey Simmons and T'Vondre Sweat, are they going to be the interior version of what we see in Kansas City, for instance? Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to be dominant. Is Jeffrey Simmons going to be dominant?
You can say they can be because they've shown it this season.
Yeah, but like, are they going to amass more talent to put around if they don't mm-hmm. have the quarterback solution? We know that to win at the highest level, they have to have a quarterback solution.
Yes.
But to be immensely better than where they were, which is at the bottom of the league, they have to have the guys that they have already obtained step up and be that version of that player that they envisioned. Like, and we've seen that early from Jeffrey Simmons, the gradual steps and progression of a career. And now we need to see him truly take over after getting paid. And that's paired next to T'Vondre Sweat, a second-round pick that, you know, can do a lot more. Mm-hmm. For that defense. L'Jarius Sneed has to play and play well. You know, like he's got to be on the field. Lloyd Cushenberry has to be an every-game starter and be the veteran leader of the offensive line. Those are things that they were saying last year right after they signed these players or last year when they were, you know, putting together their roster. Those things still have to come to fruition, and then you add pieces to that to supplement what you're doing in the draft. But they don't have enough draft picks right now to truly look at this and say, okay, without the quarterback, what do they do? Unless they break the bank and go sign a three-year starter, a three-year contract, and get a Sam Darnold-type player, and he continues at the pace that he was on with a different coordinator and a different play caller. Like, those are a lot of ifs. So, you know, do they have the pieces now? No, we just saw the reaction and the response to the questions that we were asking last offseason. They need the quarterback, and you know, unfortunately, it doesn't seem as though there are just surefire solutions that sit right in front of them as they hold the number one pick.
And that's why I asked the question, because everyone thinks, and I'm guilty at it at times, and I shouldn't be, but think that, oh, you got to get a Patrick Mahomes, you got to get a Lamar Jackson. You have to. It has to be a Jaden Daniels the first year or a C.J. Stroud the first year in order to have any chance. When in actuality, there's only three or four of those guys in the league, maybe five that are elite quarterbacks. Now, there are some that could be on the cusp, but when those guys are on the cusp, usually the elite quarterbacks are starting to phase out. So it sort of balances itself out. But my thing is everybody wants that quarterback, but realistically, we all know you ain't going to find that quarterback, so how do you win in the meantime?
Well, to your point, Jalen Hurts is going to his second Super Bowl before Allen or Jackson has reached one.
And Philly was able to surround him with good talent.
Yep, and they with the talent that meshed well, at least for so long. I mean, there's something up with Hurts and A.J. Brown, right? Like, they go from working out during COVID to prior to the trade to, you know, whatever. But yeah, like you mesh with him. You also draft receiver, and now you go and you work in Saquon Barkley, and that's the expectation. But you also, like, it's also the staff, you know, like they added the right pieces to their coaching staff. Sirianni's not calling the plays. Those are things too that affect on the field performance in Philly, and that's after they had a success doing it a different way. So, you know, they add Fangio, a defensive coordinator. You know, the Kellen Moore, for instance. You get what I'm saying. Like, it's more than just players on the field, but it's players on the field. And their defense, too, to going back to where we started with this question, their defense also is able to rise to the occasion and make some big stops, big plays. And it's led by their scheme and their coordinator.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. So, Hutt, I'll ask you the philosophical question that we are going to tackle some on the show today. You just mentioned it. With there not being a Peyton Manning or a Joe Burrow or a Cam Newton, an obvious first overall quarterback that anybody would take, where the Titans are, should they trade down and get more picks?
I'm all for that, Willie. Okay, I'm doing that. Now, what type of haul am I getting? Maybe I don't get the same type of haul that it took for San Francisco to go get Trey Lance, for instance. Maybe I don't get that type of deal. But I don't know if those quarterbacks are going to garner that. Now, if you're moving up, you're going to pay the price to get your franchise quarterback no matter who you are. But here's the thought process, and I'm just thinking it through, why they would go ahead and draft quarterback. And I'm not for that. If the guy's not the guy, you're not sold on him being the franchise, and all chips are in on this player, you don't take him. But that would mean another team feels that way. Why did they hire Brian Callahan to begin with? It was the quarterback background. That's what, it was who he's been with more than what he's done. And the quarterback developer, right? Like, that has to play a factor in why he was brought in with Chad Brinker here, right? So I'm thinking, like, how much does that play a factor? If I'm Borgonzi, I'm not trying to factor in my head coach currently. I'm trying to factor in where I want to be 3 years from now. And Brinker has said the same thing. So if you're factoring in the three-year process, which, I mean, to be honest, guys, it's about the immediate future too. Just look at the rearview mirror and see what's happened to other guys who had a process. You have to think picks. You build through the draft. Look, Kansas City, if you want to build through Kansas City like Borgonzi's been and done, those are draft picks right there. And you do that by trading away the number one pick if there's not the organizational, talent at the position. The true, like, transcendent talent, you cannot pass on if it's by far and away the top player in the NFL draft that year. No matter how bad the draft is, you have to draft based on your draft and on your roster. This team is depleted of true elite caliber talent. If that guy's there, you can't pass on him. But it would be hard for me, Willie, to pass on a load of picks to set myself up for the future, both this immediate future and, 26 and 27.
Any impressions, because you probably look at it closer than we do. D-Mace, of course, worked with Fossil directly when Fossil was a younger coach. But any impressions of the coaching changes that jump out to you?
That's the one. I mean, they go from the worst special teams to the guy who's been a part of the best. It has the same feel of Bill Callahan as the offensive line coach last year. And you have the same type of results. And I would say special teams on the back end of the roster, that's how you piece together a strong special teams talented core. And his groups have always done that. And they've been very creative, too, on how they've done it. Through the Jeff Fisher era in St. Louis, they were known for always going to play Seattle and coming up with some way to manufacture some spark on special teams through Fossil, through Bones. Same thing when they moved to L.A., and he's bounced around some, but it's not due to anything other than, the coach is not working out with ownership. But good coaches have always tried to go after him and hire him. And, the Titans end up being fortunate that the Cowboys don't stick with Mike McCarthy because they upgraded in a significant way. It's a complete 180-degree turn from where they were.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joining us on the program as he does every week. Hutton, great stuff, my friend. Let's talk next week.
No doubt. Hey, and I mentioned this, one quick thing on Bones Fossil. You go from learning on the job, it's a position where you're not doing that now, a coaching position. He's been there, done that. That's a huge positive for them. Always great to join you guys. Have a great rest of the week.
You as well, Hutton. Thank you. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the NFL draft coming up next. We're all about to get a lot smarter. We're all going to learn something.
Nobel Prize.
From a Nobel Prize winning economist as it relates to the NFL draft. That's a sentence I never thought I would say aloud. And you're probably wondering, what the hell is Adam talking about? And we'll do that next. Willie Donig, Derek Mason, Adam Vingut, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.